it is social, it places mankind beneath the mud. Are political rights under discussion? Is a legislator to be chosen? Oh, then the people possess science by instinct. They are gifted with an admirable discernment. Their will is always right. The general will cannot err. Suffrage cannot be too universal. Nobody is under any responsibility to society. The will and the capacity to choose well are taken for granted. Can the people be mistaken? Are we not living in an age of enlightenment? What? Are the people to be forever led about by the nose? Have they not acquired their rights at the cost of effort and sacrifice? Have they not given sufficient proof of intelligence and wisdom? Are they not arrived at maturity? Are they not in a state to judge for themselves? Do they not know their own interest? Is there a man or a class who would dare to claim the right of putting himself in the place of the people, of deciding and of acting for them? No, no, the people would be free, and they shall be so. They wish to conduct their own affairs, and they shall do so. But when once the legislator is duly elected, then indeed the style of his speech alters. The nation is sent back into passiveness, inertness, nothingness, and the legislator takes possession of omnipotence. It is for him to invent, for him to direct, for him to impel, for him to organize. Mankind has nothing to do but to submit. The hour of despotism has struck. And we must observe that this is decisive. For the people, just before, so enlightened, so moral, so perfect, have no inclinations at all. Or if they have any, these all lead them downwards toward degradation. And yet they ought to have a little liberty. But are we not assured by Mr. Considerant that liberty leads fatally to monopoly? Are we not told that liberty is competition, and that competition, according to Mr. Louis Blanc, is a system of extermination for the people and of ruination for trade? For that reason, people are exterminated and ruined in proportion as they are free. Take, for example, Switzerland, Holland, England, and the United States. Does not Mr. Louis Blanc tell us again that competition leads to monopoly, and that for the same reason cheapness leads to exorbitant prices? That competition tends to drain the sources of consumption and diverts production to a destructive activity? That competition forces production to increase and consumption to decrease? Whence it follows that free people produce for the sake of not consuming? That there is nothing but oppression and madness among them, and that it is absolutely necessary for Mr. Louis Blanc to see to it? What sort of liberty should be allowed to men? Liberty of conscience? But we should see them all profiting by the permission to become atheists. Liberty of education? But parents would be paying professors to teach their sons immorality and error. Besides, if we are to believe Mr. Thiers, education, if left to the national liberty, would cease to be national, and we should be educating our children in the ideas of the Turks or Hindus, instead of which, thanks to the legal despotism of the universities, they have the good fortune to be educated in the noble ideas of the Romans. Liberty of labor? But this is only competition, whose effect is to leave all products unconsumed, to exterminate the people and to ruin the tradesmen. The liberty of exchange? But it is well known that the protectionists have shown over and over again that a man will inevitably be ruined when he exchanges freely, and that to become rich it is necessary to exchange without liberty. Liberty of association? But according to the socialist doctrine, liberty and association exclude each other, for the liberty of men is attacked just to force them to associate. You must see, then, that the socialist democrats cannot in conscience allow men any liberty, because by their own nature they tend in every instance to all kinds of degradation and demoralization. We are, therefore, left